Let's continue then to think together about the grace of God. I'm not sure how many Sundays we've spent so far. I think it's about four, thinking about this subject of the grace of God. And if you go back a week to last Sunday morning, we said that the grace of God is described by Peter as multicolored. And so, building on that idea, we said last Sunday morning that we can think about the grace of God in terms of three primary colors. So there are three basic ways that we can understand God's grace. And I'm sure if I was to ask you, and you were here last Sunday, you'd be able to tell me. There is common grace, so that's God's goodness to everyone throughout the world. So whether you have sunshine, like we've had a little bit of this week, or whether we are talking about homes, food, schools, health services, roads, whatever makes life good, these are expressions of the common grace of God. And everyone shares in that grace. We then said last Sunday, didn't we, that there is the saving grace of God. Now, that's the grace of God by which God brings a man or a woman to saving faith in Christ. God reaches out to an individual and leads that, draws that person to believe in Christ, saving grace. Now, one of the harsh truths about saving grace is that not everyone experiences saving grace. Everyone knows common grace, but not everyone knows saving grace. Now, I don't know if you picked it up or not, but when we read earlier from 2 Corinthians 4, do you remember Paul there says there are some people who just never see the gospel. They don't understand it. There are some men and women who, throughout their entire lives, never get to understand, to make sense of the Christian message. And Paul says, doesn't he, in that chapter, that they're blind. Now, all of us are born blind spiritually, and some people stay blind. So there may be some people here this morning who, up to this morning, have never known the saving grace of God. Now, the third primary color, do you remember, is persevering grace. This is the grace that God gives to Christians, so that Christian perseveres in her Christian life. That amongst all the pressures and all the responsibilities and all the hardships of life, that Christian keeps going. She doesn't give up or drift away, but God continues to give grace to the individual Christian, so that Christian endures. Now, God also gives grace to the church, so that the church, with all the challenges that church life brings, the church continues. Now, do you remember then, last recap, I said last Sunday that it's the persevering grace of God that I want us to focus on a Sunday. So to that end, then, will you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12? And I want us to look at a very famous moment in the story of the New Testament. The Apostle Paul has been severely criticized. And criticism isn't unusual in the life of a church. It's easy to criticize the preacher, the pastor, or in this case, the apostle. And Paul knew tremendous criticism in the church at Corinth. They thought his preaching was boring. They didn't think that Paul was very impressive. He wasn't an impressive physical specimen. And his style of speaking was very poor. So he came under tremendous criticism. Now, as part of his defense in this letter to the criticism he received, he spoke about a man who was given tremendous experiences from God. Now, the big debate is this man Paul? Is he talking about himself? Or is he talking about someone else? But he describes how this man was taken by God and saw wonderful things in heaven. Things that he wasn't permitted to write about. He couldn't find the words. And even if he could, he wasn't allowed to write down what he had seen in heaven. Now, this man having been given such wonderful experiences of God, this man could have said, look at me, look at how wonderful I am that I've had such experiences from God. So let's pick up the story in verse 7. So it's 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 7. Now, lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations I was given by God, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Now, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that he might take it away. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly I will rather boast in my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Verse 9 is one of the most famous verses in our Bibles, and we quote it every day, don't we? My grace is sufficient for you. That's the words of Jesus. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. So I want to explore this verse this morning with you. My grace, says Jesus, is sufficient for you. And I want to do it in this way. The statement says, my grace. So Jesus is talking about something that he has, his grace. So let's think about then, how does Jesus help us in the situations we face? Then we'll talk about this word sufficient. My grace is sufficient for you. What does the word sufficient mean, do you think? And then the third thing I want us to do this morning is I want to look at the result. So if you look at verse 9, Paul then tells us his response to what Jesus said. Therefore, I will gladly. And then he gives us a list. The grace of Jesus changes the way that Paul thinks. And I think that's an amazing thing. There's a huge transformation in Paul as a result of the grace of God. And the transformation is in Paul's head. It's not in his circumstances. It's not even in his experiences. He is different in his head as a result of the grace of God. And that's the difference in us. When we know the grace of God, there's a difference in our heads. So, my grace, the word sufficient, and then this difference as a result. Now, I'm feeling very hot up here. I don't know if everybody else is. I'm wondering if somebody could open one of the doors at the back there just to have some air coming through. Let's pray together, shall we? Lord our God, we thank you that we can turn to the subject of grace again this Sunday morning. And Lord, we ask you to speak to us through your word. We come together to know the voice of God addressed to our hearts and to our minds and to our lives, whichever situation we are in. So, Lord, we look to you, we ask your blessing upon us, and we pray that you would help us. Lord, there's nothing we need more right now in our lives, more important than any hospital appointment. We need to hear the word of God. But, Lord, that's the thing we find most hard. So help us to hear and speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. So let me ask you to think of this question. How does Jesus help us? Does he help us because he's God and therefore he's got supernatural powers, if you like, divine power? Does Jesus help us because as God, he can communicate his divine power to us? Or does Jesus help us in some other way? Now, you may never have thought about this, but I want you to think about it this morning. My grace. So if, like Paul, you turn to God and say, God, help me with this problem, help me in this situation, how does Jesus help you in that moment? Well, we need to find some clues in these verses. And if you look to start with at verse 8, Paul says there that he prayed three times for God to take away the problem he was experiencing. Now, we are not sure what this problem was. He describes it in poetic terms, doesn't he? He calls it a thorn in the flesh. He describes this problem as a messenger from Satan to attack me. Now, there's been lots of pointless speculation over the years about this problem. Some people think that it was a physical illness. Now, we know, don't we, that Paul had very poor eyesight, and he would squint a lot at people, especially when he was preaching. Is this his problem, then? Is it a physical health problem? Other people think that it's a spiritual problem, that as an apostle, he's having lots of challenges. Now, we don't know. But what we do know is that he asks three times for God to take this situation away from him. How many times have you asked God to do something for you? To change a situation? To take something away from you? Because it's painful? Because it hurts? Because it sticks in your flesh and makes life difficult. Paul tells us he'd prayed three times. Now, I want you to make a connection here, and you may do so already. Paul praying three times for God to take something from him is an exact and identical reference to someone else who prayed three times for God to take something from him. Can you think of who it is? And when Paul tells us here, I prayed three times, Paul is deliberately echoing this other person who prayed three times. Take it from me, he said. Do you remember who that is? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Garden of Gethsemane, on the night on which he was betrayed, he three times prayed that God would take, and do you remember the words he used? He used the word cup. Take this cup from me. And by that he meant the cross on which he would die. He meant before that the betrayal, the arrest, the trial, the mockery, the beatings, all of that. Jesus prayed three times, take it away from me. And then do you remember, having prayed three times, he then said, not my will, but yours, God. Let that be done. Now, when Paul writes here in verse 8 that he does the same, he three times asks God to take something away. And then the answer in verse 9, my grace is sufficient for you. What Paul is saying here, Jesus is able to help you and me from his own experience. That's what the word grace means. It means Jesus, the man, who has gone through everything himself, who has experienced himself what life is like. He was tested in every way like us. It's from that experience that he is able to help us. So if you like, how does Jesus help us? It's because as a man, he knew it himself. He went through it himself. He experienced it firsthand when he was here living in our world. And now, having been raised from the dead and returned to heaven, he is in a position where he can say to us, I've been there myself. I've known it myself, and so I can help you from my own experience, because I was there. I knew it. I felt it. I was in your position, and I overcome. I triumphed, if you like. I returned to heaven, and from heaven, I can now help you with my grace. Now, I hope it's clear what I'm trying to say here. Jesus is the Son of God, and he's the Son of Man. And whenever you ask for his help, it's the Son of Man who has known it himself, who has been there. He is the one who helps you because he is also God. So that's the my grace. My experience, I help you because I've been there myself. Now, let's move on then, as time is going, to this next bit here. Can you see the phrase, my grace is sufficient for you? Now, that's an important word, and it's used many times in the New Testament, and difficulty for us is sometimes the original Greek word is translated as content. So I have learned in every situation to be content. Or other times, this word is translated as enough. So Paul will write, we've spent enough of our time living in the ways that non-Christians live. And then there are other moments, like here now, when the word is translated sufficient. My grace is sufficient for you. What does that word mean? Well, if you're able to, I'd like to build the picture with you if I can. So I want, first of all, to talk to you about colours. And if you've got your Bibles there, will you turn to James and the first chapter? So just move on in the New Testament a few pages, and you'll come to the letter of James. And many of you will know that in James and in chapter 1 and verse 2, there's a word there that we've already come across. Peter said the multicolored grace of God. Well, what does James tell us? Look at verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall, and the word various, do you see it? It's multicolored. So count it all joy when you fall into multicolored trials. So let's build the picture then. The word sufficient means the grace of God matches the trials that we experience. So trials, the challenges of life, they come in different colours. Now, some of you know this. We've said it before. And one or two of you have reminded me of the times when we've looked at this before. So the challenges of life come in different colours. So just to make that clear, some people here this morning are dealing with very dark colours. The challenges that you face are very dark indeed. Others of us are facing challenges that are not so dark in colour. So life is made up of different coloured challenges. And the word sufficient means the multicoloured grace of God matches the colour of the trial that you're experiencing. So if you're going through a dark challenge, Jesus gives you grace that matches the colour of the trial or the challenge that you face. That's what the word multicoloured means. The word sufficient. So I'm sure you've got the point then. Imagine this. Imagine I'm going through a very dark coloured trial. And Jesus says to me, okay, I'll give you a light coloured grace. So I'm living every day battling black thoughts. Perhaps I've got black in my heart. I'm facing dark moments. Imagine Jesus saying, okay, Neil, I'll give you some light grace to help you. Would that be any good to me? It would be no good to me. So the word sufficient means Jesus ensures that the grace, the help he gives, matches the colour of the challenge that you are facing. That's the word sufficient. That's one picture of the word sufficient. So, I don't know if you're still in James. If you are, turn back to 2 Corinthians and chapter 12 and this verse 9. Jesus says there, my grace is sufficient for you. I want to build a picture now in a different way. I want you to imagine the word sufficient in relation to a bank account. Now, all of us, I'm sure, can do this. So the word sufficient then, I want you to imagine you have a payment to make. So you've got a bill to pay. And that bill, let's imagine, is £100. So you have to pay this bill. And you go to your account, perhaps you go to one of these cash machines, and you ask for a balance. And in your account is exactly £100. You have sufficient to pay your bill. That's how God's grace works. God gives you enough grace, sufficient grace, to pay the bills that you face day by day. God gives you enough grace so that there's sufficient in your account for all the demands and all the challenges and all the responsibilities and all the decisions that you're required to make. there is enough grace given to your account, sufficient for what you need to do. And that's the word sufficient. And this idea of a bank account, I think, is a very important one for us to understand as Christian people. And if we had the time this morning, we could develop it further. Let me develop it in at least two ways. Imagine you're paying a bill for £100. It would be wonderful when you go to the cash machine to get a balance, and in that account of yours is £200. And therefore, you can pay your bill and you can have money left over to do what you like with. Wouldn't that be lovely? That is not how grace works. My grace is sufficient for you. It's enough for you. So the grace given by Jesus Christ is enough. It matches perfectly. It corresponds exactly to the challenges and the needs and the demands that we face day by day. So, if there's a huge bill for £10,000 that you face, Jesus will give £10,000 worth of grace into your account. But if you've got a bill for a pound, you're not going to go into your account and find £10,000 there, just waiting for you to fritter away. The grace of Jesus Christ is sufficient, perfectly matching the needs and the responsibilities that we feel. So let me say a second thing then. Let's imagine that I've got to pay my bill now at the end of the month. So it's the beginning of the month, and I know this bill is for the end of the month. It's there every month. So I check my account, and right now, today, there's nothing in it. How am I going to pay that bill? I've got nothing in my account today. It's empty. That money, that grace, will be put in to my account the moment I need to pay my bill. Not before, not after, but at exactly the right moment when it's needed. And so when that demand is faced and that pressure is on, it's in that moment that the grace of Jesus Christ is given to you. So do you see this idea of being sufficient? You could worry about it, couldn't you? You could worry about, will I be able to pay this bill now at the end of the month? And you check your account. Oh, there's nothing there. I've got nothing in my account. I've got no energy. I've got no time. I just can't pay it. I can't do this thing. I can't face it, you think. Jesus Christ will give you grace the moment you're required to do something. The moment you face a situation, in the very second when a demand comes, and there's something for you to do, and you have to do it, it is then and there in that real situation that you will prove the grace of Jesus Christ is enough for you to do what needs to be done. Now, that's the word sufficient. So let me just sum it up in case we've forgotten. And we do forget quickly, don't we? Sufficient, it means to match the right colour grace for the right colour trial. Jesus perfectly matches the help he is able to give you with the demand that you face. And then sufficient means He gives you enough grace in the moment, at the time, in that situation, to meet perfectly the challenge or the demand that you face. So I want you to think about two things. Think about colours. The colour of grace matches the colour of the trial. But also think about bank accounts. Every Christian, you carry around in here an account. A little bank account. Call it instead a grace account. And you carry that grace account every day. And what Jesus does is he puts into your grace account enough in every moment to face every situation, to meet every demand, to take on every responsibility, to face every challenge. He gives you enough at the time, in the moment, to meet whatever is facing you. Problem with us is we worry about it. And we worry about it before it happens. We worry about, will we be strong enough? Will we be brave enough? Will we have the right words? Will we be able to stand up? Will we do the right thing? We worry about all these things before they happen. Now, Jesus doesn't give you grace to stop you worrying. He gives you grace so that in that situation when it happens, you will know all the help and you'll be given all the aid that you need. Now, time's going, so let's finish with this next and last point. Verse 9. What happens then, as a result for Paul, is that he changes completely the way that he thinks. Now, can you see this? In a sense, for me, this is the most important part of our lesson for today. So let me just read you again. Verse 9, Paul's response. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities. Now, come on. How many of you are proud of your weaknesses? How many of you are really glad about your own shortcomings? Perhaps some of you are struggling with what you would say is a shameful secret. How many of you could say this morning, do you know, Neil, do you know what makes me really glad? It's my loneliness. Or what really does it for me is the fact that I'm anxious every day. Or I'm ill. Do you know, isn't it wonderful that I'm ill? Now, come on, how many of you will say that? That's what Paul says, because his thinking is different because of the grace of God. Paul sees it so clearly that every weakness, every illness, every moment of loneliness, every experience of anxiety, every doubt, every failure is an opportunity to know the grace of Jesus Christ. So think of it like this. Every illness, challenge, failure, mistake, whatever you call it now, think of all of those things as bills to pay. And sometimes they're hefty bills. Sometimes they're bills that are going to be paid for the rest of your life. I'm going to have to pay this bill for the rest of my days. And it's going to be paid weekly by me, because of decisions I made or problems I've had. So for the rest of my life, every week, I've got this bill, this cost that I'm going to have to pay. Now, what grace does is, grace says to you, that bill, that cost that you will face for the rest of your life. Jesus says, I am sufficient for it. My grace is enough for you so that you can pay that bill for the rest of your life. Whatever that bill is, addiction, anxiety, whatever it is, the grace of Jesus guarantees you'll be able to pay it for the rest of your life. And that's how Paul now thinks. His thinking is totally different. And that's my hope as we study the subject of grace together, is that our thinking changes. So instead of seeing a mistake as the most terrible thing, most shameful thing, we see mistakes as bills that the grace of Jesus can pay. And instead of seeing challenges and illnesses as the most awful things the world has to give, we see them as bills to pay that the grace of Jesus Christ is sufficient for. So let's close with the words of Paul. Most gladly, I would rather boast in my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in weaknesses, reproaches, needs, persecutions, and distresses, all through Jesus Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Let's pray then, shall we?